turn with me to the book of John, chapter number 19, and put your finger there, and turn back a few pages to the book of Luke, chapter number 23. I want to say that I have thoroughly enjoyed these services. My heart has been helped by the preaching of these men, and my, what a message we heard from Brother Eric tonight. I appreciate his faithfulness to deliver his heart. I'm glad we serve a big God. Amen. There's a lot of times that we bow and we talk to God about our difficulties and our problems. And I believe that's appropriate. I believe that's what we ought to do, because we can't handle them. But I believe it is also appropriate at times to tell our problems how big our God is. Amen. God can handle any situation. He's never been hand-tied. He's never been duct-taped. I'm here to tell you, you can't hem him up. He'll work in any situation. And I bless his name. It's been a joy, though, to be in these services with your pastor. Appreciate everything that has been given and sacrifice to make this meeting what it is. And what a blessing for a church to work together. A lot of churches don't understand that. But it's a blessing to be able to labor together, to be a help to some preacher, some layman, encourage someone's heart, to be a blessing to someone along life's way. And haven't we heard good singing by this Fortune family? Boy, I appreciate their singing tonight. It ministered to my heart. But I want to encourage you. This is a ministry of any local church. It's a ministry God's giving you. And it can be a help to you, and not only you, but many, many others. And I challenge you to be faithful to do what God has put in this preacher's heart to do. And God will bless you. Would you stand if you're willing and able? I'm like Brother Hinkle Little. Every good message ought to be short, and every bad message ought to be shorter. I have preached some of them latter ones myself. I'm not against long preaching. Now, I'm not against that, but I'm here to just tell you, I'm not going to hold you long, but I want to do what God wants me to do, and this is the last night, it's Thursday, and you just stay with me, we'll get to where we need to go. The book of Luke chapter 23 and verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Then in John chapter 19 and verse number 30, when Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. You can be seated tonight. It is evident from Luke's writing that when Christ spake these three words, it is finished. It was not a cry of desperation. Neither was it a cry of despair. But with a loud voice, Christ made a proclamation. Christ made an announcement that rings yet today. It is finished. Just three simple words. But my, what truth, what assurance, what confidence that you and I have today. Because Jesus uttered those three words from Golgotha's hill. They are three words of completion. Three words of completion. Right. Aren't you glad what the Savior began? He also brought to an end. I'm glad he didn't just get a little ways down the road and then decide to turn back. But Jesus went all the way. He finished what he come here to do. I say, blessed be the name of God tonight. It is finished. Up to this time, the environment and the atmosphere of Calvary had been dark and cold and dismal. The words that had rung from the cross spoke of tragedy. They spoke of lamentation and desolation. Christ had cried with a lamentable voice and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, such lamentation. But then our Savior cries with tragedy. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he cries the sinner's cry. He announces from the cross, I thirst. Oh, such desolation, such hopelessness, such despair. But I'm glad when Jesus cried, it is finished. The atmosphere, the aura of Calvary made a profound and dramatic change. Hallelujah. Darkness turned into light for the child of God. Oh, bless his name tonight. Tragedy was turned into triumph. A lamentation was turned to jubilation. Desolation was transformed into celebration. There was no longer a victim of sin, but hallelujah, there was a victor over sin. Bless his name. Up to this point, sin had had its way with the Savior. But now the Savior is going to have his way with sin. I say hallelujah tonight. It is finished. They are complete. Three things I want to mention. And I'll mention the first two, but I want to just look at the third one for a few moments. We find that there were certain things that our Savior completed. Certain things that he announces were finished by this announcement on the cross, you'll find that the Savior's task was finished. His work was accomplished. You see, Christ had come to this world for a specific purpose. He had come on a mission. That's why His name is Christ. That's why He is termed the Messiah. He is the sent one. He just didn't happen to fall out of eternity and stumble into time. He didn't come without knowing firsthand what He had come to do. He came not to be a doctor. Even though He healed everybody that came to His office, He came not to be a prophet, though He astounded the doctors of the law. He came not to be a lot of other things, but I'm glad He did come on a mission. He came not to be ministered unto, but He came to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. And when He cries, "It is finished," hallelujah, He is saying, "Father, the work that You have given me, I have completed. I have carried through." Aren't you glad we have a Savior tonight that will complete? And by the way, God still has some other things He's going to bring about in His redemptive plan. And just as sure as He has completed what has already been done, you can rest assured one day He's a coming again. Eternity is going to swallow up time. I say glory to His name tonight. The task of our Savior was finished. There was a second thing, the transfer of sin was completed. The transfer of sin was completed. You see, up to this point, sin had never been dealt with. Sin had never been cleansed. The offerings of the Old Testament, lambs and bullocks, had only postponed the judgment of God. All they could do was to purify the outward man. They could do nothing about a man's inwards. And tonight, when Christ cried, "It is finished," He was announcing that the transfer of sin had been made complete. In the Old Testament, there is what was called the scapegoat, and that high priest would lay his hands on the head of that goat, confessing his own sins and the sins of the nation of Israel. And a fit man was chosen out of the congregation to lead that goat out in the wilderness. Legend and tradition says that goat was led over a cliff and made sure that it would never return to haunt Israel with their sins again. And when they saw that goat leave out of there, they knew that their sins had been placed on that goat, and that goat was carrying their sins away from them. Oh, tonight, I'm glad when our Savior cried, "It is finished." Praise God, my sins were placed on Him. My penalty was placed on Him. My judgment was on Him. My condemnation was on Him. Oh, bless His name tonight. As Brother Eric said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I'm here to tell you tonight, sin may still be in me. because I'm in this old flesh. But I can announce tonight, sin is no longer on me. Hallelujah. He took it on himself. He bore my sins. He was wounded for my transgressions and bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. I say, blessed be the name of our God tonight. It is finished. There's a third thing. Now I want to just look at that for a few moments. You see, the triumph over Satan was complete. He was announcing publicly that he had won victory over Satan himself. Tonight, that triumph had been prophesied early in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the seed of the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I'm glad victory was promised there early in the book of Genesis. And on Calvary, our Savior fulfilled that prophetic promise of victory. Oh, bless his name. May I just say to you, when Christ said, it is finished, he didn't say, I'm finished. Oh, no, he said, it is finished. This was not the cry of a despairing martyr giving his life for a cause only to be forgotten and have no influence. Oh, no, this was not the cry of a despairing soul that had done all that it could do, and now he was relieved that it was all over and was hoping that it was good enough. Oh no, when Christ said it's finished, he trounced Satan underfoot, crushing his head, bringing triumph and victory. Christ through the cross has trampled him, crushing him to utter ruin. And a despair, I say glory. He's a defeated foe because Christ said it is finished. Now, there's a dilemma about this truth. It is readily seen in the New Testament that clearly this is a victory. But from the human standpoint, when someone looks at the cross, when the Jews looked at the cross, they said it was a stumbling block. And when the Greeks looked at the cross, they said it's a bunch of foolishness. And from the human standpoint, there is difficulty and uncertainty about what was taking place at Calvary. From human reasoning, we find that the cross only seems to emphasize defeat and hopelessness. It speaks of shame, weakness, and contempt. But I'm glad Jesus and the New Testament writers say, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Paul writes and says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The Hebrew writer Paul says, he also likewise took part of the same that through
death, he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. For the world, it looks like defeat. It looks like hopelessness and despair. But I'm glad Paul says to usward who believe, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. It is the wisdom of God. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. Great God Almighty, I'm glad he won victory for you and I. But I want us to look at the definition of this truth. Some would say, and I've been guilty myself, some would say that Christ and what he did at Calvary and through the empty tomb, that Christ took the keys of death, hell, and the grave away from Satan. And on the Isle of Patmos, he shakes them a little bit for John. When he's over there for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now that sounds good. And I have been guilty in years past of preaching that. But I preached it in ignorance. For you see, I believe he never had surrendered the keys to begin with. I believe Christ has always had the keys of death and hell. You read the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. The scripture says, see now that I, even I, am he, and there's no God with me. I kill and I make alive. Hannah prays and said, the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. Doesn't sound like a God that has lost the keys to death and hell. No. You say, well, what did Jesus say to John? He said to John, behold, I am he that liveth and was dead, and I have the keys of death and hell, amen, and I'm alive forevermore. You know what he's telling John? He said, John, don't worry, I haven't lost the keys, I still got them. Lift up your head, I got a work for you to do. Keep a writing, John. Hey, it's going to be worth every mile of the trip. I'm glad he's still got the keys. So if that is not what is meant by defeating the devil at Calvary, then what does it mean when the Bible said that he through death destroyed him that had the power of death? That is the devil. You've got to understand the kind of death Jesus died. You see, Jesus was not dying a natural death. He was not overwhelmed with sickness or cancer. No, he was not dying of old age. He is just 33 and a half years old. And as I said, he was not dying as a martyr. No, the death that Jesus was dying was the wages of sin. As a little Joseph spoke of a while ago, where he said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Christ was dying that death of sinners. He was dying in your stead and mine. He had become like we were. He took upon himself humanity. He became a form of a servant, and he humbled himself. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he was made in the form of a servant, and he became obedient even unto death. I say hallelujah tonight. He died a death I could never die. Oh, although I die a thousand times, it'll never make any difference in the eyes of the holy God. But I'm glad when he died, God's justice was met. God's holiness was fulfilled. God's demands were kept. I say hallelujah. It is finished tonight. You see, in the Old Testament, in the book of Zechariah, chapter 3, and verse number 1, it said, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. The word resist there carries the meaning of accusing, pointing his finger, declaring he's guilty. And the reason Satan could do that is because the inflexible law had never been satisfied. The justice of God had never been pleased. Oh no. And based on God's righteousness and God's holiness, the devil had a free course to point his finger at every saint because there was no payment for sin that had been made. But good news tonight, when Christ said it is finished, praise God, the penalty of my sin was paid. The penalty of your sin was paid. And as Brother Eric was talking about a while ago, I'm glad I can plead not guilty. Praise God, because Christ has met every demand of the law. Satan don't have a basis to make accusation against you. He doesn't have a basis to make an accusation against me. My sins have been paid for. My sins have been washed away. My sins are gone. Hallelujah. It is finished. The triumph over Satan has been complete. He destroyed him. The term destroyed doesn't mean that he annihilated him. It just meant that he rendered him powerless. You see, Satan is like a dog with just a bark. He's just like a snake that doesn't have fangs or venom. He's just like a bow that doesn't have an arrow and a gun that doesn't have any ammunition. Oh, he may shake his weapon around at you, but he can't harm you. Oh, no, I'm glad he's been rendered powerless. Oh, blessed be the name of God. And Christ accomplished this triumph not through mighty armies, not through legions of angels, not through a gathering of seraphims on the cross of Golgotha. Oh no, he became weak human flesh and died in our stead. Oh, bless his name. He took care of it all when he died on the cross. There is a depiction of this truth. There's a picture of it that God gave in the Old Testament. We're all familiar with the story of David and Goliath. We've heard it from just a little baby. We find that the Philistines, Israel's enemies, were ridiculing Israel. Goliath would stand forth every day. He would defame the Israelites and their God. He mocked and made fun of them. And they cowered in despair. They hid for fear. David was in Jesse's house, his father. And Jesse says, David, I want you to take some cheeses and some bread to the battle. And I want you to see how your brethren are faring and take a pledge of them. He wanted him to cut off a lock of hair or maybe trim a fingernail or bring something back to let me know that my boys are all right. Well, I'm glad we've got some pledges tonight that everything's all right, don't you? And all of a sudden, David hears Goliath's challenge. David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistines that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And they began to tell David, "He who defeats this giant, the king, will give him his daughter in marriage. And if he owes anything, he'll be set at liberty, he and his family." David said, "I'll take him on." And about that time, his older brother, Eliab, he come around. He never had got over the fact that Samuel had overlooked him, bypassed him in the house of Jesse, and anointed his younger brother as king over Israel. He's filled with envy and jealousy. He's mad, and he begins to lash out at young David and said, "What in the world are you doing here? I know the haughtiness of thy heart. I know why you've come down. You've come down to see the battle. You've come down to cause somebody to go out there to his death and fight against this giant." David said, "What have I now done?" It's the way a lot of Baptist preachers feel like on Sunday night or Monday morning. They hear the resound from the service on Sunday, and they feel like, "Well, now what in the land have I done now?" He said, "Is there not a cause?" And you know what David done? David turned and said to them boys, he said, "Tell me again what the king will do for the man that goes out and whips this giant." And they rehearsed the words in his ears again. He just didn't pay no attention to Eliab. Set his eyes on going against Goliath. Went down in the valley of Elah. Got five smooth stones out of the creek, out of the little brook. Put them in his shepherd's crib. Put one in his sling, slung it round and round and round and round and round and round and let it go. Hit Goliath in the forehead and knocked him out. He fell forward. David took Goliath's sword, cut his head off. And I'm here to tell you, hallelujah, he took more back than just a lock of hair and a fingernail. He carried the head of Goliath back to the camp of the Israelites and said, "Daddy, how's this? Everything's a going well." But it's a depiction of what Jesus did on the cross. For he took death and defeated him who had the power of death. You see, in the Old Testament, the saints were being mocked, ridiculed. But I'm glad the father said to his son, "I got some work for you to do. I want you to go down there and see how the brethren are faring." I'm glad he come down to this world. And if you'll remember, Brother Rick, I believe, has been preaching on the temptation of Christ this week. Christ emphasizes three times, "It is written." Every one of those references come out of the book of Deuteronomy. Every one of them. David had five stones, but he just used one. And did you know that one stone stunned the devil, stunned Goliath? You see, Christ had the five first books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Had all five, but he just used one. Just used one against the devil in temptation, and he stunned him in his temptation. Didn't kill him, but he stunned him. But I'm glad on the cross, Christ took death, the devil's own weapon, and cut his head off. I'm glad defeated him completely and forever. Hey, he's a defeated foe. We're not marching toward victory. We're marching from victory. I'm glad he took care of it all tonight. Aren't you glad he cried, "It is finished"? Blessed be his name. For you see, Christ came to Satan on his own turf, just like the preacher was talking about a while ago. The two gods on the same playing field. Christ came to Satan's turf because he hung between heaven and earth. The devil is the prince and power of the air. I mean right in the middle of the ghetto. Right in the middle of the worst part of town. He takes on his enemy. And he lets the devil, choose weapons. death was the greatest weapon in Satan's arsenal. He had many weapons, but death was his greatest one. And by death, he was going to destroy the Savior. But I'm glad the Savior turned the tables on the devil and took death and cut his head off. He beat the living tar out of him and won victory for you and me. I'm glad tonight it is finished. Great God Almighty, our sins have been taken care of. I'm glad I'm saved for time. Time and eternity. Glad he has no basis to accuse the saints. No. We've been justified freely by his grace. And tonight we ought to rejoice. We ought to be glad in our heart that Christ paid it all. It is finished. Glory to his name. I'd like for my family to come back around. And if you could, either sing At the Cross or Rock of Ages. Hallelujah. Thank God for them old hymns of the faith tonight. And you may be here lost and undone. I've got some good news for you. Christ paid it all for you. Christ suffered it all just for you. Great God Almighty tonight, what a Savior he is. He was not bowing his head in shame and in relief that his sufferings were over. No, he was announcing to me and you that everything had been complete. Everything necessary to bring about our salvation. Great God, that's enough to make a Presbyterian want to shout. Hallelujah tonight. I'm glad I'm not a-going to hell because he suffered my hell on the cross. I'll not pay for my sins. He's already paid for them. Great God, what a Savior. I'm glad he finished it all. He completed it all on that cross. Thank him tonight. I bless his name. All heaven will resound one day. Worthy is the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundations of the earth to receive power, honor, and glory, dominion, and rule forever and ever and ever. I'm glad he died so I could live. He came so I could go. It is finished. Woo! Bless his name. Let's stand tonight. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! For the cross. I'm glad it's not a shame, but it's a glory tonight. Bless his name while they sing.
Alas, indeed, my